It's time for our Tuesday morning visit with the fact checkers at PolitiFact Virginia, a service at the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Today we're joined by editor Warren Fisk and reporters Sean Gorman and Jacob Geiger of the PolitiFact Virginia staff. They're here to discuss three items they wrote about recently in the PolitiFact Virginia column. Sean, let's start with you.
Sure.
You wrote about a statement made by former senator and governor and Senate candidate George Allen. He said, a year ago today, President Obama ignored the objections of the American people and signed into law a $2.5 trillion monstrosity. 1 year later, we the people are still being ignored, unquote. Well, you checked on the facts, and what did you find?
Well, essentially, Allen is saying most people didn't like the law when it passed a year ago, and most people continue to oppose it now. And there's certainly no shortage of polling about the health care law. Dozens and dozens of surveys have been taken since the measure passed in March 2010, and many surveys show opposition to the law. There are some polls showing more people support it, and there are still other surveys showing a fairly even split in public opinion. Talking to several polling experts and averaging out the results ourselves, we found that opposition to the law has generally been in the high 40s or low 50% range, while the proportion of people who support the measure is somewhere in the low to mid 40% range. So when people are asked about impressions of the overall law, there's generally more opposition than support, but not by an overwhelming amount. There's also a huge partisan divide, with Republicans generally disapproving of the law and Democrats mostly favoring the measure. There are some polls showing a small percentage of people oppose law because they felt it was not liberal enough. So that group is against the law for very different reasons than Allen, and he sees the law obviously as an example of government overreach. Still, Allen is correct to the extent that the law generally stirs more opposition than support, so we rate his claim mostly true.
Okay. Let's call in Warren Fisk now. Warren, you wrote about a statement made by House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, a Richmond area congressman who's in the news almost daily now in his leadership role in Congress. And he made a comment that discretionary spending has, quote, increased over 20-some percent in 2 years if you don't include the stimulus. If you put in the stimulus, he said it's over 80%, unquote. Well, you checked out his math. What did you find?
We found that non-defense discretionary spending, which was what Cantor was exactly referring to, has increased by 24% since Obama was inaugurated. And so that jibes with Cantor's claim that it's gone up by 20-some percent. But Cantor ran into some trouble when he started adding in the stimulus money. First, not everyone agrees that it should be counted because the stimulus was a one-time federal expense to jolt the economy and was never built into the budget base. But you can argue that either way, Cantor took all the $257 billion in discretionary stimulus money and he applied it to 2010 to get his 84% increase in discretionary spending that year. But in fact, the stimulus money, is being spent over a number of years, and only about a third of it was slated to be spent last year. So when you add the correct portion, it means that discretionary spending, including the stimulus, increased by about 44% during Obama's first 2 years, not the 80-some percent that Cantor was talking to. So we rated him a half true on this. He was right on the number when he excluded the stimulus, but he was wrong on the number when he included the stimulus.
All right. And finally, Jacob Geiger, you wrote about a statement made by Virginia Congressman Morgan Griffith. And his comment was, quote, originally Democrats promised that if you liked your health care plan, you could keep it. 1 year later, he said, we know that you need a waiver to keep your plan, unquote. Well, you checked him out. What did you find?
We know that you don't actually need a waiver for everyone to keep their health care plan. There are about 160 million Americans who get health insurance through their employer, plus the millions more who buy it on the private market. Everyone else gets it through Medicare, Medicaid, Veterans Administration, or is uninsured. Now, the only place we found waivers being handed out by the government are in these limited benefit or mini med plans that are popular at large employers with lots of part-time or low-wage workers. Two of the biggest users of these plans are Walmart and McDonald's. There's also a smaller waiver program for insurance companies that cannot meet the new law requiring you to spend 80% of your premiums on medical expenses. But the main waivers are those mini med ones I mentioned. And they only apply to about 2.6 million Americans, according to the Department of Health and Human Services. That's just over 1,000 waivers for different plans. And the total number of workers under these plans is just 1.6% of the employees with health care coverage in America. Basically, what we found then is only a very small number of healthcare plans are going to require waivers to keep your health insurance. Griffith is just barely true because it's simply not correct to suggest that all Americans are going to need a waiver. In fact, very few of them will need a waiver to keep their health plan.
So he gets a barely true on the truth-o-meter. Okay, thanks to all of you, Warren Fisk, Sean Gorman, and Jacob Geiger of PolitiFact Virginia, for your Tuesday morning report on the facts of Virginia political comments and statements. Thanks again.
Thanks, Wayne.